My name is Garland Robinson. In Acts chapter 25, we read about the Apostle Paul standing before King Agrippa and being examined. In Acts 25, verse 13, we read, "After certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came into Caesarea to salute Felix. And when they had been there many days, Felix declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, 'There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix.'" And then in Acts 25, verse 22, we read, "Then Agrippa said unto Festus, 'I would also hear the man myself.' 'Tomorrow,' said he, 'thou shalt hear him.' And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus's commandment, Paul was brought forth." Paul was able to speak so eloquently of the words of life. We read where he spoke concerning Moses and the prophets, foretelling that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Felix said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." Then in Acts 26:27 we read, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Can you think of any more sobering words than that statement here made by King Agrippa? "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." When Agrippa hears the message of salvation, he's moved somewhat like Felix some time before him. And for a moment at least, he lost sight of his surroundings. He forgot about the dignity of his position, perhaps thinking only of the truth that he had now heard, and seeing only this humble prisoner standing before him, he spoke up and said, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." 2 years before, Felix had said something similar when he said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." It is said there that Felix trembled. He shuddered at the thought of considering himself in hell. Now King Agrippa, somewhat like Felix, says, almost, but for a little, I too would become a Christian. So he loses sight of everything around him, almost. Some think that statement made by King Agrippa was said in derision, that is, in mockery or ridicule or contempt. I'm certainly not of that persuasion. I think he actually considered it. At least for a brief moment, Agrippa considered becoming a Christian. Paul acknowledged in Acts chapter 26 and verse 3 that King Agrippa was an expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. And being of Jewish descent himself, he had some background in the history of Israel. He knew of the prophecies concerning Christ. And now hearing Paul weave these prophecies together and show that Jesus of Nazareth was their fulfillment, Agrippa saw the truth. He was almost persuaded to become a Christian. For a little he would embrace the Christ and his will. However, the choice he made was to ignore it. And so he let it pass. He was convinced, but he was not convicted. He had no doubt thought that he had better and more important things to do. Oh, what a tragedy it is for people to hear the gospel, to learn the truth, but then fail to take action in obedience to it. There'll be no excuse for people like that on the day of judgment, for the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul's reply to Agrippa was, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul was bound. He was imprisoned. He did not have his freedom to leave. He was free in Christ, free in soul and spirit, but not free as far as his physical body was concerned. He was in chains and in bonds. Paul's sentiment was like that of our Lord. We read about in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He expressed a similar thought in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 when he wrote, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's what all the great people of God have always wanted, is for people to be saved. For men to come to the realization of their sins and their error, to return from that, repent of that, and obey that they might be forgiven. Instead of desiring to learn more and to repent and obey, Acts chapter 26 and verse 30 says, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them, and they walked out. How many people have been in a church service, have powerfully heard the gospel preached, presented in its truth and simplicity, but yet they spurn the invitation of obedience to the gospel, and they walk out. Agrippa's curiosity was satisfied. As they left, the Bible says they talked among themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty had he not appealed unto Caesar. But the case had already been referred to that higher court and was now beyond the jurisdiction of either Festus or Agrippa. Paul would go to Rome, and he would stand in Caesar's household. And there, just according to the foreknowledge of God, he would be able to present the saving gospel at that place as well. You know, the inspired record here does not reveal if Festus, Agrippa, or Bernice ever considered these words or event again. We're left to conclude that they never obeyed the gospel or even cared about hearing it again. Nothing in the inspired record shows that they ever questioned it again. Wouldn't it be great if people everywhere would repent and obey the gospel? Paul wished this to be so and devoted his life to that end. Wouldn't it be great this very hour that those who hear this lesson may be able to turn from their wicked ways and obey the Master? It can be so with you. It's your choice. What will you decide? When this lesson is over, will you decide, well, that was interesting? Ah, humbug, that's not anything. Will you even care about it? Will you think for a moment? Don't be like Agrippa, though. Don't say, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. For almost is not enough. Almost is but to fail. Almost will bring an eternity of eternal punishment. Almost means you're lost. Can't we persuade you this very day to believe in Jesus the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world? We read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, if you believe that Jesus is God's Son, if you believe He's the Savior of the world, there's no reason why you should perish. But I guarantee you that if all you have is belief, if all you have is down deep in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, that's no good. You'll not read that any place in the Bible. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So there's no reason if you believe that you should ever be lost, because that belief should lead you, prompt you to respond in faithful obedience to God's commands. We read in John 8:24, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." That belief, though, is alive and active, will lead you to respond in obedience. Well, what does that mean? That means that repentance of sins is necessary. In Luke 13:3, we read, "Except you repent, you shall all perish." And verse 5 says the same thing, "Except you repent, you're going to perish." In that great sermon preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, thousands of people cried out and said, "Sirs, what shall we do?" They had heard the gospel. They were pricked in their heart, and they wanted to have forgiveness of their sins for crucifying the Son of God. And they said, "What shall we do?" They were to turn from their sins in their mind. They were to change their attitude, their disposition, and turn it toward God, toward the Lord. Having repented, the Bible says that confession of faith in Christ is then necessary. Faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, the Redeemer, the Savior of mankind. We read in Acts 8:37, where Philip said to the man from Ethiopia, "If thou believest, you can be baptized." And the man said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Friend, if you believe, if you've repented of your sins, if you confess faith in Christ, won't you be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, that they might be washed away in the precious blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ? The Lord said Himself in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Won't you be saved? Just as those on Pentecost, the Bible says when they heard the word, they learned what to do, that they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 1 Peter 3:21 says, "Baptism doth also now save us." Won't you live faithful then unto the Lord all the rest of your life? Won't you do it now? Won't you do it today? If we can teach you further, help you, assist you in your obedience to the gospel, let us know. Give us a call. We'll be glad to help you, assist you in any good and proper way because we love you and care for your soul. Won't you care for your own soul?